Well, he used to make regular appearances here on this very program back when he was a writer, back when he wrote for the Detroit News as a columnist, then when he was on television, and even then when he was at the White House as a press secretary. Then we all know what happened with Tony Snow, a reoccurrence of cancer, into the hospital, and now on the road to recovery, and at the start of the week, back on the job at the White House. And I know it was good to be back, Tony Snow.
Paul W., it sure was. I'll tell you what, I'm having a blast, and it is good to be back. You know, I miss the action.
Only you would say, with what's going on there, especially today, that you're happy to be in the thick of those things, because I'll tell you what, it gets so squirrely here. These folks have been threatening to do something. They finally did it. The president was threatening to do what he was going to do. He did it, and now they're coming all together, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But you look great. You sound strong.
Yeah, well, other than, I get these seasonal sinus infections, so I'm a little raspy today. But other than that, no, I am feeling great.
And with the medicine the way it is, in what used to be a death sentence, and you've addressed the big fear, and remember we used to call it the big C. Nobody ever wanted to say the word. They'd whisper, cancer. you've faced it a couple of times in a couple of different ways, and the doctors have a great deal of hope. The oncologists have a great deal of hope for you.
Yeah, and furthermore, so do a lot of people who have had worse cases than I have. The first sign I got was really the day it was announced that I'd had a recurrence. And some guy wrote me, a military guy, a crusty military guy out in California, says, don't worry about that. I've had it for 30 years, and I can do it. You know, and he was writing as he was heading off for a monthly chemo hit. And I'll tell you what we're trying to do. I'm going to start 4 months of chemo this Friday, or actually 8 sessions every other week. And then after that, probably once a month just to do a maintenance dose. And it turns out there are a lot of people doing this sort of thing. Went in for a CAT scan last night. We don't have anything new that we haven't seen before. So the fact is we live in an age where really there are two kind of benefits. Number one, detection is far superior to what it used to be. So is treatment. And furthermore, treatment gets more user-friendly all the time. Two of the three main agents I'll be using in chemo this time around were not even in wide use. One wasn't in use at all 2 years ago when I had chemo the first time. So I'll be working straight through it. I don't think people are going to see any impact on it because, frankly, I don't expect to feel much in the way of impact. And believe it or not, I'm looking forward to it. Why? Because we want to stop the cancer where it is, so I can lead a long, healthy, and happy life.
It's living with cancer rather than the old theory of getting rid of it altogether. It's kind of turning it into a chronic condition.
Well, that's the short-term aim, and yet in the long term, there's some amazing research going on where people do think that at some point they will have cures. Just to give you an idea, one of the things they're doing with certain cancers is they're extracting cancer cells. They're doing a genetic map of them. Then they take your T cells, basically your cells that fight disease, and they program them to go after weaknesses in the cancer cells and to eat them up. It is possible within a very few years that you will be able to have your own personal vaccine against your own personal disease or cancer. So the fact is, short term, you bet, we want to make it chronic. And frankly, there's some people for whom the cancers under the kind of regimen I have, they do disappear and they do get completely cured. So we'll just have to see. It's part of the adventure.
Well, I know you appreciate, Tony Snow, all of the emails from around the country, the cards, the letters, and the prayers.
Yeah, more than you can imagine. The way I've described it is, I've got thousands, if not maybe even a million people who've been praying for me and sending me things. They're carrying me around on their shoulders, and you really do feel that. It's very easy at times to feel sorry for yourself or to feel worried, but not when you have support from others. That's one of the reasons I've been so public about this, is that I want to encourage people who have a bad disease or an injury or cancer or whatever. Don't try to do this yourself. There are people around you who love you, and you will be absolutely astonished by the generosity and concern and just flat goodness of other people. And this is, one of the really rewarding things for me is it's been one of the cases in which partisanship is utterly broken down in Washington. I have heard from Democrats and Republicans and people who agree with me and people who hate my views. There's a real decency at the core of this country. And when it comes to individuals in need, that's when it really comes shining through. So if you got something, you know, in your life, let other people know. And furthermore, if you know somebody around the corner's having some problems, you know, drop them a note, send them an email or whatever. You may not think it'll make a difference. It'll make a bigger difference than you will ever, ever, ever suspect.
Wise words from Tony Snow through experience. A quick last note, though I'm sure he had serious words of welcome and concern for you, I kind of get the feeling that President Bush, at least what I know of him, may have had a funny line or two to throw at you when you got back.
Well, you know, the first time we saw each other was as we were about to go into a press conference with Angela Merkel, who is the Chancellor of Germany, and Josip Barroso, who's the head of the European Union. So what is Snow, good to see you. And then he, you know, calls over the German Chancellor, and I've gotten to know her a little bit because we've had a bunch of meetings, and she was talking in Brussels. So it was almost this kind of family reunion thing. It wasn't so much joking as, hey, man, good to see you, which is one of the gifts the president has is knowing how to make people feel comfortable in a way that makes them comfortable. In other words, you know, he'll approach different people different ways, but it was you know, he had perfect pitch with me, and it was great, and then we ran out and did a press event.
Why do I get the impression that you will, Tony Snow, even though you're an accomplished author, will never be one of the staffers of the what seemed like many that break away from the team and write bad books about
the
president?
Yeah, no, I've got no interest in that. I think it's not only ungrateful, it's usually pretty boring. I never read those books. You know, most Washington memoirs should be titled, If Only They'd Listen to Me. You know, well, if they don't listen to me, boy, we'd be safe today. But the fact is, it is a rare privilege to work for a president. You know, there may be times where I'll spin tales about things that are going on, but I will never be disloyal or ungrateful either to this president or to his father, whom I also had the privilege of serving. And as I said, you know, those kinds of books just are not only not terribly interesting, you just feel icky even looking at them. So, yeah, I'll write about other stuff.
Back to work. The president obviously vetoed the Iraq war spending bill, calling it a blueprint for failure and defeat.
Yep.
What happens today?
What will happen is, let me take a look at my watch.
It's
8:45. About an hour and 15 minutes, the formal veto letter will be transmitted to Capitol Hill. We will release it once it's in the hands of members of the House of Representatives. There'll be a vote this morning, an attempt to override the veto. It will get nowhere near the votes it needs. So the veto will be sustained by the House of Representatives. And then at about 2:25 this afternoon, Democrats and Republicans from the House and Senate will be here at the White House. Then we'll try to get about the business of going ahead and supporting the troops, because everybody says they want to support them. But we need to support them in a way that allows them, gives them the money they need, the flexibility they need, and also doesn't make success less likely by weakening faith in the United States among the people we need the most, the government of Iraq, the regional neighbors. See, one of the most disturbing thing, Paul W., about what we've seen here is that this bill has created doubt that the United States really cares about finishing the job and creating democracy in Iraq. So if you're a member of the Iraqi government, you think, well, you know, do our guys actually cooperate with these American forces? Or if they leave, do we do something else? If you're Saudi Arabia, do you say to yourself, do I rely on the United States in the war on terror, or do I cut a side deal? The same with, you know, the Jordanians and the Egyptians and the Lebanese and even the Israelis. That kind of doubt is enormously damaging, not only to the United States in terms of its international prestige, but on the ground, it means that people start hedging their bets, and they don't give us full support, and therefore, that undermines the mission. So we need to send a clear signal that the goal here is not merely to fund the troops, but to have success. And a successful democracy in Iraq.
Quick take, and then I'll let you go. I know how busy you are. Tony Snow with us, White House press secretary, and all-around good guy with his Detroit connections, et cetera, et cetera. Your wife has connections.
Yeah, well, she grew up in Detroit.
Grew up in Detroit, too. Senator Carl Levin said earlier on the program, he's quoting Gates, he's saying the timetable might have a positive effect on the Iraqi leaders, and he's saying that the Democrats want to ask the president if he'll get tough with the Iraqis, tell them that they must meet their own benchmarks or there will be consequences, and the consequences, obviously, of our troops being gone.
Okay, well, two things. First, there's a certain extent at which a helpful nudge turns into bullying. At that point, it ceases to be helpful. Second, when it comes to benchmarks, guess who first came up with the idea? Wasn't Carl Levin? Wasn't George W. Bush? It was Nouri al-Maliki at a meeting in Amman, Jordan last year. He's the one who presented the idea. A third, democracy is messy. Senator Levin knows that Democrats haven't even met their benchmarks for legislation this year. So I think what we need to do is to ask ourselves, what is it? And Senator Levin's right about the key thing. He understands that what you want to do is to create encouragement and incentives so the Iraqis will be stepping up, and you want to assist them. It's an enormously complex situation. But what you don't want to do, once again, is to give the notion that even if they're doing the right thing, but it takes an extra day or an extra week, all of a sudden you're going to cut them off. That will be seen as faithless and destructive, and that the Americans are not reliable. What we want to be able to do is to have the right combination of encouragement of the Iraqis so you do build capability as rapidly as possible without, in the long run, undermining our credibility as a defender of democracy and a defender of human rights around the world. If people figure that when things get tough, we're going to bail out, what they will say is, Bin Laden was right. They're the weak horse. When things get tough, they just run away. They can't take it. That's something that we can ill afford. So it's one of the reasons why we'll be working with Senator Levin and Senator Reid and others so that we get the right balance here. We want to make sure to encourage the Iraqis to keep moving, and we want to push them a little bit. But on the other hand, you don't want to send the message in a way that makes the United States look faithless. It makes the United States look uncertain. When we approach a situation with unity and determination, the entire world takes notice and it builds respect for us. When we look as if we are uncertain, all of a sudden that changes things and they look upon us, they treat us with aggression and contempt. So members of Congress have to understand that our body language and the way we approach this, even when debating it, is something that everybody around the world, and especially in Iraq, they're looking at very closely. It's something that may seem to be really good for domestic politics in the long run could be really bad for the safety and security of the American people. So you got to take a much broader, more nuanced look at this. And but that's what Democratic debate's all about.
Tony, always a pleasure. Nice to have you back. We're hoping that we'll have you back on a regular schedule with us. We would look forward to it.
You know I love it, so let's just count on it.
All right, Tony. Thanks very much. Welcome.
LW, thanks.
Welcome back. Tony Snow, White House Press Secretary.